Okay, guys, we are actually recording and we're gonna put this online later. We're down in the basement. We've been pushed here by my mean wife, who is, I was describing what they're doing upstairs. I called it a armed practice. An armed, yeah, instead of being, instead of a, yeah. They're soldiers. There's us guys upstairs dressed like soldiers. So anyway, all right. So let's talk about peace. What just happened? Oh, it's scary. All right. Well, we're having fun this morning. We're gonna have fun either way. Okay. Somebody, you said you got your Bibles. Look up Philippians. Philippians 4, and this is the kind of scripture, all joking aside, guys, that some of us need to make a part of our daily, and I'm really not even saying studies, I'm saying more of a proclamation, okay? So, it's Philippians 4. And 6. Now think about this. Be anxious for nothing. You know what the root word of anxiety is? Is anxious. Okay? So be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So guys, we've been on this peace journey for, this is our third week. But as I look at literally the bottom line of what our culture, the whole situation, just the way we live now with everything that's going on, it is, we have a an amazing amount of people who go to the doctor, who go to whatever and say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. At sheriff's office, we have people call every day that says, I can't do this anymore. I'm gonna take my own life, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. And, or so one of their friends calls it in, okay? So, but look at the scripture. Be anxious for nothing. And listen, I'm not, I know there's, this is not judgmental. This, what this is like, if somebody showed up my door and they said, hey man, I'm hungry, okay? I'm hungry, I'm living on the street and I'm hungry. I wouldn't say, well, what you ought to do is do this, and what you ought to do is do that. What you ought to do, no, what I do first is go to the refrigerator, or the ice box is what we call them back home, the ice box, and open the door and say, okay. And I'd lay them out some light bread and make a sandwich or warm up some chili or something, okay. And then give them a couple of cans of something for later, okay, because they're hungry. So don't think if you're struggling with, if you don't have peace this morning, if you're struggling, don't think I'm here saying, hey, you ought to do it. No, no, that's not what it is. Let's receive this as a meal today, as the bread of life, which is the word of God. And he's literally saying, actually Paul's writing to the Philippians, through the Holy Spirit, he says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer. So I want to tell you, let's pray about everything. There is nothing, I'll give you an example. My kids, well, they were living at the house, or now actually, if they're having a problem, I want to know about it. And if there's something I can do about it, I do. Sometimes you can't, okay? But I mean, literally, guys, bring it to Him. So the first point I want to make this morning, if you're struggling with not having peace, come on in here and sit down there. Act right, like the rest of these folks, okay? So here's the deal. If you're struggling, we're in Philippians 4:6-ish, okay? So be anxious for nothing. So if you're struggling, if anxiety, if you're concerned, if you're worrying, because I know people who spend every day worrying about national events. I know people that every day worry about the future. I know people every day worry about their past. You see what I mean? It's okay, but watch this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So first off, some of you guys need to mark this in your Bible every morning when you get up and look at this. This needs to be part of your daily routine. But everything by prayer. And I want to tell you something. I have notebooks, okay? And my mom had notebooks. My dad had notebooks. After they passed away, I got those notebooks and read them, okay? And what's in there is things they were thankful for. I want to thank God for this. I want to thank God. And we would remind themselves of what God had done for them in the past. But then on the other category, in the other column, would be things, right, that they were asking God for. And as pastors, they had lists of people that I don't even recognize their names, okay? But that they were praying for this, but the amazing part about it is, in a lot of those times, there would be another annotation in that notebook that says, praise God, the lawsuit was over. Praise God, this was over, this was over, okay? So, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. Supplication means asking, okay? So we're praying, we're asking. But look at the next thing, with thanksgiving. If you want to have peace, I know this is not a theory. What I'm telling you right now, this is not a theory. I've lived it. I mean, it's like you say, well, ain't no way to get to Galena from here. Oh, no. I've been there once or twice. Okay. Once or 2,000 times, whatever, okay? Oh, there's no way, you know, that's 12 miles away and you can't do it. Praise the Lord. No, I've done it, okay? So let me tell you that this element that I'm introducing into this is not an option. If you want to have water, you have to have H2NO. Okay, if you just got H and 2, you got to have that O, or you don't have water, right? We're talking about elements, you know, because that's so good in science.
That's the only one you remember.
Full disclosure. I always sit in the smart group so I can look over their shoulder. Okay, so if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Okay, so, but anyway, literally it says this, with thanksgiving. So are we a thankful people? Are you being a thankful people? Oh, you remember something from high school. Okay. I see that guilty look. Okay. So what'd you get for number 2? 2 is B. Okay. So that's why in some classes I've been through the years, they call we're going to take a test. It's time for us to take a test. We got to pass this. Okay. So anyway, so with thanksgiving, and let your request be known to God. Now, okay. I have 4 biological children. Okay. And those biological children, when they were young, they wanted different stuff. Okay. Now, Joel, great kid, love him to death. Be seeing him this week. But when he was 8 years old, if he'd come in and said, Daddy, I want me a John Deere power saw. I want a chainsaw. I'd have said, son, I would be glad to get you one of those when you're 20. Because if he had a chainsaw, he'd have sawed our house in half for entertainment while wearing a big green hat. Okay. So anyway, but the point being is, and you get the point, right? Mm-hmm. I have had the ability as the dad, okay, to say, no, later maybe. You know, if you, like, he's out of Colorado now, he may need a chainsaw. You see what I mean? If he has some, want to make a campfire or whatever, that'd be different. But when he was 8, that'd be a solid, what do we call that, a firm no? Solid no? Okay. So we make them, which surpass, and the peace of God, verse 7, which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. Your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The basis of everything that I talk about, this is not a joke, okay? Every sermon that I preach, every teaching that I do, every series, the basis of it is Jesus Christ, because that is the cornerstone. There's a lot of good information out there. I'm serious. There's a lot of good information about what to eat, about what to do, what don't do this, do this, do that, you know, visualization. There's all that. It's good, good stuff. But without the foundation of Jesus Christ, it goes and runs off in the ocean. Okay. And that happens when the storm comes, right? So let's go to John chapter 4. And as I was studying this again, you know, that's what happens when you study. You dig it, dig a deeper hole. John, it's in here. It's after Luke, John, chapter 4. Okay. I was close to it, but I had to start at the front finding. So, yeah, there's no problems here. Okay. So, this whole chapter, we're not going to go through this story again. We've been through this story over and over and over, but I just want you to get this picture. As I was praying yesterday and thinking about today and about peace. So this lady, Jesus shows up in her life, okay, at the well. This is the woman at the well, okay? And verse 4 says, and he needed to go through Samaria. And something was in her life that she needed Jesus. Would you agree that in everybody's life, they need Jesus? That's the first point, okay? So Jesus got there. And everyone came, this is the Middle East. I was in the Middle East for a year, okay? Turkey, which is first cousin, okay? So the point being, it was a Muslim country, it's a long year, okay? Anyway, but the point being is this, okay? Over there, it's hot, okay? And if you're gonna carry 2, like 8 or 10 liter pots, and they're made out of clay over on Bill, and you're going to take your pot. You're going to do that before the sun gets up or when it's early in the day or late in the day, okay, if you go twice a day, okay? But she was there in the middle of the day. Do you know why? This is my first point. Social anxiety and shame. Because she'd been married 5 times, or whatever, we'll get to that in a minute, a bunch of times. She had, the guy she was living with at that point was not her husband, and those other women were yap, 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 right? Okay, just people yap, 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 yap. Okay, everybody's got something to yap about. They can't yap about their own stuff. Let's get a little caffeination here, upgrade. So here's the deal. I want you to think about this. Let's say there's a very, very scary, you hear this as a scary movie. It comes out and it's supposed to be like, it's like people scream and run out during the middle of the movie. It's so scary. It's just terrifying. And you go, is there going to be a little anxiety, a little that? We know it's a movie, but it's like, wow. But after you've seen it once and you know what happens at the end, and let's say at the end of this movie, everything is great. It turns out just great, which is not a normal horror film, okay? But there's a lot of scary stuff between the introduction and the credits at the end. There's a lot of scary stuff. But let's say that you watch it the first time and then somebody comes and says, oh, I don't want to go to that movie back. You might tell them, you say, you know what? I'll go with you. It's not that bad. It's not a big deal. It's going to be all right. as Abinell Swihart used to say, Bubba, it's going to be all right. Okay. She called me her little Bubba. Okay. Her little brother. So here's the deal. Here, she shows up with this anxiety, with all this stuff. But just imagine if I tell you this morning that all things are working together for your good. And I stand on that scripture every day. When somebody calls me, when something happens, when things don't work out exactly, not that I'm a control freak, exactly the way I want them to, okay? I just have total faith and confidence, not because, oh yeah, you bet. No, it's because I know what the end of the movie looks like. Does that make sense? Last night, I was looking at some stuff and thinking about some stuff and struggling with some stuff, and I was like, you know what? I know what the end of this movie looks like. It's Jesus standing at the door saying, come on in. Does that make sense? And but the reason that that's going to happen is because of his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love, and what he did. Because I can promise you, because of my track record, I will screw it up between here and there. No, I will. Not as bad as I would have 40 years ago, you know. So, but here's the deal. When she found out who he was, she no longer had that. She went to the people of that town talking to people on purpose, because her anxiety was in the hands of Christ, because she knew the Messiah was here. Is that what happened? You guys know this story, okay? Second point is during their conversation, the woman at the well, there's this religious ambiguity. I don't think I've ever said that word. I've read it a lot. But there's this, should we do it this way? Should we do it that way? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? These people say to worship over here. These people say you got to wear a hat. These people say you can't wear a hat. These people say you got to wear shoes. These people who don't have one. You say, okay, I'm making the shoes up. Okay. But some people, you know, the girls can't cut their hair. No, the girls need to cut their hair. That, you know, you can't wear makeup. You got to wear makeup. Is there a little bit of confusion in the church? Not our church, because we're perfect. Okay. But I mean, you know, what about Mary? What about the saints? I'm just making all this up. Okay. I'm not making it up. I'm just pulling from everywhere. Okay. What about is the Sabbath Saturday? Is the Sabbath Sunday? What if I need to mow the lawn? Is there just a lot of stuff that people have fought, and there's been wars fought over, not, I don't think the lawnmower, but you know, you get me, right? Okay. So this person shouldn't do this. This person shouldn't do that. We got all this, but there's all of this ambiguity, ambiguousness. This. I like to put those. But anyway, the point being is she didn't know what to do. She had a religious uncertainty. But guess what? She met the Messiah. She no longer was worrying whether she was supposed to wear culottes or not. She was no longer worried whether she was supposed to worship on this hill or that hill, because the Savior was there, the Savior of the world, and he loved her. And all that, I'm not telling you don't read the Bible and try to do what it says. I'm not saying that. If the Lord says, hey, you know, you need to take a day off a week, you know, I need to listen to that voice sometimes. But anyway, take 10 minutes off a week. Okay, whatever. But the point is this. She no longer had that, because she had what all of the focus is that is on Christ. And I want to tell you guys, in a little while upstairs, this sermon today is going to be short. It's probably going to have to be a 2 or 3 parter, because I got stirred up over Christmas. I got stirred up, guys, over this sermon, and I did the deep dive again. And pulled up some stuff from years ago about Jesus, about the Lamb. And as I was studying that, I was like, Oh my word. Why don't I preach this every week? It would bring peace that passes all understanding. So if we, it may be like that joke, the guy tried out for the church, he preached a fantastic sermon. And the board came in afterwards and hired him and said, man, you are the cat's pajamas. We have Sunday night, so you're going to come back tonight. Yeah, yeah. He comes back, he preaches the same sermon. Exactly the same points, same everything. And they're like, well, yeah, that's a great sermon. Maybe just figured we, you know, need a little follow-up. So then the next Sunday morning, he preaches exactly the same sermon. The next Sunday night, he preaches exactly the same sermon. The next Sunday, he preaches exactly the same sermon. Same points, same joke, same everything. Okay. And the board says, hey, man, we need to meet with you. It's like, hey, that's a great sermon. And we bragged on it. We think, but why are you preaching it? He says, well, I have a policy that I wait until you do something about what I've already taught you before we go to the next thing. Yeah, I don't have that policy. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. So she no longer had the social anxiety when she met the master, when she realized who he was, when she, he became the Messiah in her life, the answer. Okay. And there was no longer this religious uncertainty, because we're going to make mistakes, aren't we? You know, the Bible's a big book. There was a guy one time, his wife was, he was kind of a big deal, and his wife was, they want his wife to speak, and she said, what am I going to talk about? And this is, he was actually preaching when he said that. He said, baby, it's a big book. Just get something out of there. Okay, it's all good. She said, what? He said, it's a big book. So is it a big book?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a lifetime of study in here, and you will not handle it. You'll get what you need, okay? So, no longer religious uncertainty. She's no longer had her social anxiety, but then guess what happened? What had been causing that was guilt and shame. Two things, guilt and shame. Now here's my deal. Guys, I heard this about 20 times when I was growing up a month, either about me or about somebody else. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Shame, we were a shame-based culture, okay? And that's the way, guess what shame does? Shame controls. And listen, I'm not telling, listen, the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The thing about shame is, even though you move past the problem, you still have the poison of shame. Does that make sense? Okay. This is what caused the shame. This is the shame thing over here. Okay. But then, hey, that's my favorite song. Okay. Not really. I didn't recognize it. What is it?
I don't want a lot for Christmas.
Well, that's not my favorite song.
Okay. You have never watched Love Actually.
Huh?
No,
never
mind.
No.
Okay. Rabbit hole. Okay. So, rabbit hole. Okay. So, but here's the thing. This culture, the enemy, will pick something and dog you with guilt and shame. I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda, I wish, all these words, right? And then you get on Instagram and Facebook, and before long, everyone has the perfect life, just like mine. Okay. Kind of. Okay. So, but what ends up happening, we have this guilt and shame. And I want to tell you, in this culture, they will guilt you over your parents. They will guilt you over what you believe. They will guilt you over your past. They, you know, and I think it's very interesting. Okay, I got to be very generic with this story. I will be very generic. So don't ask me later about this. Okay. Many years ago, in a land far, far away, okay, there were some people that I got called to their house, and there had been an unfortunate incident and someone was dead. And while I was there, I saw all of this stuff. I mean, when I say stuff, I mean stuff, okay? They lived in a community that back in those days, the minimum house would have been probably $500,000, okay? Back then, okay, say 300,000 back then. Now it would be 750,000. It was, the golf course was like right there. It was like you could walk out your back door, get on your golf cart, and so I'm looking at all this stuff. They got this hot tub. I've always wanted to, you know, and it was on the second floor, and it was out, they had glass all around where you could look out over the woods, and I'm like, wow. You know, of course they're dead right now. They're not using it. So I started, no, I'm just kidding. So anyway, but the point being is, as we begin to unravel this situation, guess what? They were $1 million in debt. And they had a nice car. They had a nice car. They had a nice house. And they were pretty people. They were pretty. The one that is no longer with us is not quite as pretty. But anyway, but the point being, okay, anyway, the point being, are you following me?
Yeah.
Just because something looks a certain way doesn't mean it's a certain way, you know? And it doesn't matter. It's not about riches. It's not about, I mean, I had a friend many years ago. This is many, many years ago. Don't try to figure this one out either, okay? Fantastic athlete. I mean, when I say fantastic, I mean, in high school, he was a college level athlete. And he was the talk of the town with his athletics. He was the talk of the town with his appearance. He was the talk of the town. We were good friends and we spent time together. And here's the deal. We were out on a boat one day and he began to share with me, because we were brothers, not biological, but he loved me, I loved him. And he began to share with me his life. And literally, guys, I was just like, what in the world? How is this even possible? So here's the deal. Just because things look a certain way, that doesn't mean they're not dealing with shame. They're not hurting. They're not being the part of their life that you never see, because they are ashamed, okay? But my relationship with Christ, just like the lady at the well's relationship with Christ, has taken away my shame. You follow me? Okay. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Because, you know, I'm a shoulda, coulda, woulda person. I'm a shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. That's my tribe. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Okay. What tribe are you? Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Okay. All right. But once that was done, she was able to go right back in the community, no matter what she'd been through. And she was able, because of the Messiah, because of her love for Christ and her belief and her reception of him, she was able to go right back in there. All right, the next one is pretty interesting to me. We've got 7 minutes, 6 minutes. So watch this. This gave her a purpose. Did you know a life without purpose is a life without peace? Did you know that? I have met person after person after person who literally have lost their purpose, either because of something that happened on the outside or something that they experienced, maybe something they even introduced to themselves, but they've lost their purpose. So I want to tell you something. The minute that she accepted, received, understood who Jesus was and established that relationship, she had a purpose. You know what it was? To tell everybody about what she had found, okay? And the reason that that doesn't happen many times in religious circles is because, really? We're good people because we're good people, because what we did. I'm gonna tell you something, the reason that I can walk into any jail cell, the reason that I can walk into any hospital room, the reason I can walk into any situation and say, Jesus Christ is the answer, the reason I can do that is because he is the answer and he is my answer. And I'm not going to argue with them about the theological whatever about it, because I'm going to tell you something. Once you've received Christ, once you know the truth of who he is, the rest of it is just the fringe around the edges. Because when Jesus showed up, everybody else had to be quiet. They might be yapping on the inside, and he's reading their mind. We'll get to that another time. I love that. When they think this, and he says something, they're like, what? Okay. But anyway, she then had a purpose life, and it was full of activity. And it was not activity trying to deal with, if I had this, I wouldn't have social anxiety. If I say enough prayers, I don't have to worry about the religious uncertainty. If I do this better, I won't have to worry about my guilt and shame. No, it was fixed through the person of Jesus Christ. That's where peace is. That's, you know, I'm saying it 463 different ways, but you get it, right? Okay, because there's 10 million ways that he changes things. Okay, and here's the deal. This purposeful life, as she went there, it also changed her view. Guys, I have a different view than I had even 25 years ago. And essentially, the closer I get to the Lord, okay, I want full disclosure, okay? I'm just who I am, and y'all know that, those of you who know me. But you also know that, I want to tell you something, the closer you get to Jesus, the more focused true spirituality becomes. It's no longer about, does anybody here tell me what flagellation means? Does anybody? Do you? Yes, there you go. There's a scholar in the building. Flagellation, in fact, we're not going to do this, but I'm going to explain it to you. Okay. So there's several people in here. So what would happen is we would get in a line, okay, if we're doing it corporately, you can do it by yourself too, okay. We'll get in a line, and everybody gets a whip, and they beat the person in front of them as you walk. Every step you take, you hit them with this whip. And then you turn around the other way, and you have to swap because there's people on the ends, of course, okay. But the bottom line is this, guys. They did that for their sins. They were paying for their sins. That was a middle age thing. A middle ages, not middle age. Okay. But middle ages thing where they were believing that that would get them straightened out. And some of you that are either going to watch this later, it's being filmed now, but some of you are going through that self flag, and some of you are beating other people to make you feel better. I've been thinking, okay, but the truth is when you have that social anxiety goes away, when your religious uncertainty, when the guilt and shame, you get a purposeful life, you literally rise to a level of spirituality where you don't have to struggle with all this, and you can do what you're called to do. Okay, now, is this a battle? Because I'm sure she had a good day that day. She met Jesus that day, right? Okay. But I'm sure two or three days later, the enemy came and said, begin to sing the Linda Ronstadt song to her. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Right? Okay. And if you've never heard that song, I've heard it in my head without Linda Ronstadt singing it. But you get that note, and that peace comes through Jesus. And I got two quick examples, and then we're going to shut this down, okay? When the previous name of Paul, he was named Saul. Remember Saul before he was Paul? He had he was driven to make everybody else right. He was arresting them. He was pursuing them. He was driven. And when somebody, their whole purpose is to correct others, it scares me. Because there's some kind of focus that they want to take off themselves and they want to fix everybody else. Does that make sense? Okay. So watch this. But when he became Paul, Remember the difference between Saul and Paul. Saul is on his donkey, walk, you know, everything. He's got a purpose. He's going to get this cult, this Jewish cult of Christianity. I'm going to, you know, we'll get, and what happened? He met Jesus. And it knocked him off his donkey. And it blinded him for a while. Just the glory of God. But the next thing that he was driven, when he went through that and realized what had happened, he was driven not to correct others, but to rescue others. That's what happens when you have a relationship, when the social anxiety, when the religious uncertainty, when the guilt and shame, when you have that purposeful life, you get the peace through Jesus, you've got a new level of spirituality, and you're, instead of trying to correct everybody to make everybody else look right, you are driven to rescue them, because God is that four-letter word. What is it? Love. God is, isn't he? Okay. For God so, God was so worried about how messed up y'all were because he wanted y'all to be perfect. No, that's not what, because he loves us. Okay. Last scripture, Isaiah. That's right in the middle of the Bible mostly. Okay. Isaiah 9. And we will close. Guys, this is an amazing study, by the way. Not because I've done it. It's because... Okay. Isaiah 9. And start with 6. For unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of what?
Peace.
Peace. And the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There will be no end. Your peace never has to end. Your last breath, you will be saying, Yahweh. You'll be proclaiming the reality of God. Mark 4:39 says, fear not. Matthew 28 says, lo, I'm with you always. John 14 says, my peace I leave with you. And guess what? As we receive peace, we become peacemakers. And the making of peace, we are called the offspring. You girls don't have to be sons, okay? You guys don't have to be girls, because we're the body of Christ, okay? But here's what happened. Literally, we are called the offspring of God as we make peace. So Father, thank you so much for this day. Your grace, your mercy, your love, your peace that passes all understanding. So, Lord, as the Prince of Peace, I speak peace on these people, the peace that are people that are going to watch this later, God. Help us, watch over us, and keep us. We love you, and thank you for Christ Mass. Amen.
Amen.